Amen. Hey, once again, we are in our study. What's that? The book of James. What's the tagline? How to spot a phony Christian. Why is that the tagline? Because that's what this book is all about. And so is the book of 1 John. Okay. And it's dealing with what? False teachers, false prophets, false teachers, and what? False brothers. What's that? Fakers, just like Judas. They're everywhere, right? And the good news is God doesn't just tell us that this would happen. He tells us how to spot them. Okay, that's what the book of James is all about. That's the good news. The bad news is the church ain't doing that. And so now it's gotten so bad, as we've been seeing, that we got fakers not just coming and flooding churches. They've taken over the church. But not here at Sunrise. Why? We study the Bible. That's right. We study the Bible. And we study how to spot those phony Christians in the book of James. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1, 19 through 25. We're going to read the overall context. This is the third acid test that James gives us. How do you know you got a faker in your midst? Okay. Very, very serious stuff. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 19. As we stand and read God's word. Listening and going out to lunch. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what mine says. Listening and winning that daily double column on Jeopardy one day, in case you ever get on that show. Listening and amazing people with your word knowledge of the Bible. No, listening and what? Doing. This is your acid test. Here's what he says, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Why? For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In fact, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, you're like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, you go away and you immediately forget what you look like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he's going to be tormented in all he does. You talk about a boring life. This guy's going to be a loser. Oh, I'm sorry. What's it say? You'll be blessed. Name one command from God's word that's bad for us. Right. You follow it. You do it. Don't just listen to it. Do it. What? Of course, you'll be blessed. Makarios in the Greek, spiritually prosperous with joy. You'll be blessed in how much? All he does. Wouldn't you want to have that? Then don't just listen to it. Do it. Is James' point. You maybe see if you can. Again, James, we've been seeing, is the first chronological book written in the New Testament. It doesn't appear that way, but it is. Okay? And it's all about how to spot fakers. First John, which is one of the last books chronologically written, okay, it's the exact same thing. So here you have at the beginning of the church, and then at the end of the New Testament, you got what? How to spot a phony. I'd say that's probably a big issue. It's like bookends, chronologically. That's not by chance. Why? Because Satan, as we read in the scripture, he's flooding the church. He can't take away the church, but he's trying to ruin the church by flooding the church with fakers, religious people who are not born again. And so James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the first book written in the New Testament chronologically, staves this off and says, aha, I'm going to give you some indicators. How do you know you got a faker in your midst, right? Because if you don't pay attention, they're going to take over and ruin the church. The first acid test was what? Watch what these people do with trials. If they say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they go through a hard time and walk away, James and 1 John would say, they were never among us because they left us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but they're going to show that none of them belong to us. So that's a big acid test. Watch what they do. He says the second thing, temptation, sin. If you profess to be a Christian and you ain't got no attitude towards sin, and you actually condone sin, and you then would go to the next step and say that God approves of sin, which is blasphemy, something's wrong. Because when you're born again, you're indwelt with what? The Holy Spirit. And what's he immediately do? We know this as Christians. He starts to convict you of sin, right? So if you ain't got no conviction of sin, yet you profess to be, something's wrong. And then we saw the last several times. Here's your third one, the test of the truth. Watch what these people do, trials, temptations, and the truth of God's word, because that's another huge, huge test that we're seeing in the book of James. But let's take a look at what he has to say about that. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and what? Slow to become angry. The Greek says this. You know, my brethren, beloved ones, the aforementioned facts. Now let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow with respect to anger. Now the context is God's word. And not just God's word, it's the doing of God's word. So this is the acid test. Their reaction, their behavior, their attitude towards God's word, okay? In other words, he's saying if all you do is come to a church service just with the mentality as if God doesn't know, that all you're doing is punching in your religious time clock, you have no desire to do anything that you would might possibly learn from the Bible, that's not a good sign. If your attitude is only to come here to keep up appearances before men, you know, to look spiritual and stuff like that, to impress people like the Pharisees, that's also not a good sign. is what he's talking about there. And that's why James says right out of the gates, hey, listen, this is a serious issue. You better take note of this. In other words, this is serious. Think about this. There's a lot of people who go to church services who are not born again because they never profess Christ as their Savior. They're here for religious purposes and all these other things. Anything and everything but Christ. Maybe it's the potlucks. Maybe it's the friendships. Maybe it's because they are like the Pharisees and I'm proving that I'm not that bad. James says, you better take note of this because if that's you, think about what you're headed for. You're going to have a funeral one day. And they may actually give you a Christian funeral because you went to church services. But you never got saved, which means you're actually in hell. Take note of this. How you handle God's word is a serious indicator on top of the trials and the temptation. Whew. And so he begins to break it down for us. We saw, hey, you're going to be a good listener of God's word. And again, this is just normal common sense. We know this, you know, like when we first got saved. And when you really were born again and drove the Holy Spirit of God, what's the first thing he does? Woohoo! I got to get to the word. And then you're going to be a good sponge of that word. And then we saw last time you're going to be a good follower of God's word. And we broke it down. We said, well, what's that mean? Well, here's what he says. Everyone, if you're born again, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. In other words, this. Listen is this. It means that it's takus. It means you're quick. You're sweet, swift, speedy, fast towards God's word. What's he talking about? He's talking about this guy. I can't wait to get in the Bible. I can't wait to get to Sunday services. What? You even have a Wednesday night service? I can't wait to get there. What? You just announced women's Bible study? Woo! What? Men's Bible? Kids, youth? Woo! That's what he's talking about. If you know, like when you first got saved and you couldn't get enough. That's a sign. That's a good sign. Right? The next one we saw was you're slow to speak, which means I'm in serious trouble. No, it's not what it means. Praise God it doesn't, or I would be in trouble. No, it means what? Slow to utter a voice or emit a sound. In the context, it means slow to tell God that, no, this is what I think or this is what I want. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is you're like this guy. I'm here to learn, man. I'm going to shut my mouth. Right? And I'm not here to tell everybody what I think. I'm just here to learn. I'm a sponge. I'm soaking it up. Woohoo! Maybe even taking notes. What a concept. Right? That's a good sign. Right? And then we saw last time, you're slow to become angry. Bradus orge is what it was there. And basically it says, you are open and glad about God's word, even when he spanks you with it. Woo-wee! Thank you, God! I came that close. Look at me. Yes, you spanked me because, man, I was getting off track and you loved me enough to spank me with your word. That never happens, does it? It doesn't if you go to a place that doesn't teach the Bible. But if you teach the Bible, what's the Bible say? Correct, rebuke, and encourage. Two-thirds of the time, you should be squirming. But what do? No. Yeah. Thank you, God. Woo! I almost went down the wrong path. I almost got burned, but you love me enough to teach me, to keep me on track, okay? But what we saw is, guess what? That's not what's going on in the church today, right? We don't just have idiots, selfish, self-centered people, idios in the Greek, that's what the word means, idiots, running the church today. We got God haters. We got God haters in the world. They are quick to anger, no submission. They don't have nothing to do with God's word. And the word that's used there is wrath. Not just mad, they're right? Like that lady. But listen, here's what's sad. Because the church is refusing to teach God's truth, which could stave this off, these people have come into the church now. We got God haters in the world, and now they've invaded the church. It's the exact same attitude. You just got a different set of clothes on. And James would say, excuse me, you profess to be a Christian, but you're actually going to get mad and wrathful when the word of God is being preached and taught to you for your own benefit? That's not a good sign. But that explains why, as Paul says, we're in the last stage of destruction, Romans chapter 1. That in the last days, at that final stage, you're literally going to become a world full of God haters. And let me give you a preview of why we're dealing with what we're seeing now. We have religious God haters everywhere. Let's take a look at this.
The Catholic Church is softening its stance on same-sex unions in a radical change in policy.
As KTV's Christian Catherine reports, Pope Francis has now formally approved blessings for same-sex couples.
In a papal declaration, Pope Francis has given the go-ahead for priests to offer blessings for what he calls couples in irregular situations and couples of the same sex.
Gay marriage supporters have a new reason to celebrate. The Presbyterian Church USA just paved the way for same-sex couples to get married.
It's Easter Sunday at Glide Memorial Methodist Church in San Francisco, and the Reverend Karen Oliveto takes the stage in front of a full house.
for almost 50 years, this church has been a place of unconditional love and unconditional acceptance.
Oliveto has an unusual mix of churchgoers in her congregation.
Gay, lesbian, large trans population.
Holy is the name of Jesus.
It would be a typical evangelical service were it not for the gay worshipers in the pews. They were at the National City Christian Church in Washington recently for a meeting of the Reformation Project. The group seeks full acceptance for LGBT people in evangelical churches.
Okay, it was a contentious moment playing out in Seattle as a preacher attempts to read from the Bible in the middle of the Pride Parade crowd. Watch this.
Milwaukee police investigate after a street preacher was attacked. He was speaking against abortion just as students were leaving Riverside University High School.
Nicholas Heald captures his attack on Facebook Live and his body camera. His associate also records. 30 minutes earlier.
Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven.
A street preacher armed with a speaker, a microphone, and a camera strapped to his chest is now banned from the village, the Pride Parade, and any event related to Pride Month.
Do you tolerate me as a Christian?
As long as you tolerate me as a gay man.
Within 15 minutes, members of Toronto's LGBTQ community clapped back, hoisting signs that read, "Love is love."
Would you tolerate me as a Christian? Go away. Okay, so you're a bigot.
The San Antonio police are still searching for the person who stabbed a young street pastor on the northwest side.
It was downtown where Lee was killed on June 28th. San Antonio police found him with multiple stab wounds around 2 a.m. in the 6100 block of Ingram Road, right in front of the Hilltop Oaks Apartments where he lived. Lee later died at the hospital.
I will see my child again, regardless if this person turns herself in, if they're caught. The Lord will deal with them.
Yes, he will. Bible says you're just heaping up the wrath of God. And if you don't get saved, you're in a heap of trouble with God. You wonder why things are so messed up? The last 30 years, at least here in America, the American church, epithumia, we saw last week, lusting after that which is forbidden, selfish desires. They've been lusting after numbers instead of preaching this. In order to get those numbers, they don't preach the truth. And they honor people's selfish desires, idios. And so now that's gone on so long, the first stage is idiots begin to run the show. Now what we're seeing is God-haters are running the show. People who hate God's word, not just in the world, but in the church. And James would say, you better take note of this. That's what non-Christians do. I don't care. If you call yourself a pastor, I don't care who you say you are in a church. If that's you, you're in trouble. But now we get to the issue where James begins to build on this, and he basically gives us another indicator. How do you know that you got a born-again Christian in your midst? And the contrary to that, that, okay, it's a faker. Well, a good Christian, a born-again Christian, you're going to be a good channel of God's word. Right? And that's what we now see in the context here. Verse 19, we'll grab it, and then we're going to go into, listen, moment of silence, because I don't think you guys have any clue what's about to be dropped on you today. The first of the year. Not only a new verse. Oh, that's only half of it, literally. Two verses today. Yeah. I mean, I was excited over a new... Hey, don't get too excited. I was joking. That's not really that funny. But anyway, that's right. Anyway, hey, but no, seriously, it's exciting. Two verses, but grab the context of the two verses by backing up in this one. 19, everyone, again, what's the context? If you're a true born-again Christian, should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now he tells us in the context, why should that be the case, right? And basically, here's what he says, verse 20 and 21. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The Greek literally says this, for man's what? Not just anger, wrath the same one that's used of the people who hate God and his word, does not bring about, that's you, that doesn't bring about that which is righteous in God's sight. Of course, hello, wherefore, having put away every moral uncleanness and vulgarity and wickedness, which is abounding, hello, in meekness, receive the implanted word which is able to save your soul. So basically now in the context, put it all together, it flows like butter. If you read the context, stay with the context. Let me give you the visual of what James is saying. Basically, if you're a born-again Christian, here's what we should expect from you. Number one, you are a quick hearer of God's word. I can't wait to get to it. Woo-wee. And then when you get there, you keep your mouth shut because I'm there just to learn. I'm a sponge. I'm soaking it up. And then even when you hear something that kind of gives you a spanky wanky, you go, yeah, thank you, God, for keeping me off that wide road that leads to destruction. Thank you for putting me on that narrow road that leads to life. Woo-hoo. And now you are excited because you can understand and appreciate God's word because, listen, you know that it will produce what God desires, a righteous life. Finally, you don't have to wonder, how can I please God or what's God called me to do? What's he want me to do with his word? Not just hear it, do it. Why? Because he wants us to be holy, righteous examples to the people around us. And we'll see why in a couple of seconds in the context. But this is it. You are gladly. It's a common sense appreciation. Yes. Yes, I need God's word. Why? Because, hello, the contrary to that doesn't produce what God desires. James 1:20, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Again, it's not just anger, it's wrath, it's orgē, it's the exact same one, right? And this is common sense, right? Put it to the test. Do you think those people that we saw last week that were so wrathful towards God's word and Christians preaching God's truth, that remember we saw that they were actually tearing out pages of the Bible, wiping their behinds with it and throwing excrement at the Christians? Do you think that those that were exchanging the Bible for pornography or who were defacing it and mocking it, do you think, quote, it's going to produce the righteous life that God desires? No! Hello, McFly, right? It's common sense. Of course that's not going to produce it. That's what he says. That will never produce the righteous life that God desires. And yet that's what we got. Not just in the world, we got it in the church. But he says this is a true Christian, therefore, it's common sense. They appreciate God's word. Because now, finally, I've got a sure path to live a life that's pleasing to God. I don't have to wonder, God, I just got saved. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to speak and behave? Right here. And you can't wait to get in there. And you're excited about it. Not, how dare you tell me what to do. No, you're like, yeah, tell me what to do. Because you know that God's word will give you what you need. A righteous life. His path is right. It's wrongdoing that's the wide road that leads to what? Destruction. But God loves us enough so that he can give us the narrow path, his truth, that leads to life. You get that as a, of course, it's, come on, you know, like when you first got saved, it was common sense. You see, we're Christians. We're followers of Christ. How did Jesus live? Righteous, holy life. Who is God we sing about? He is holy, 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 which means what? Without sin. We're Christians, followers of Christ, so we want to follow Christ. So we want to, well, listen, be like him, like father, like son. That's what you should be. In a good, healthy relationship, the kids want to grow up to be like what? In this context, like dad. And that's what he's saying. This is common sense. You appreciate this. You appreciate God's word because he shows you how to live. And then when you finally get it, you're going like, yes, God. Not only is that what you desire for me to do, but it really is for my best. Because if I follow the way of this world, it will lead to destruction. But your word leads me to right living, righteousness, and that's for my own good. And you will be super excited about it. Like this tribe. Watch this. This is cool.
Hallelujah.
When was the last time we got excited about the Bible like that? You know, like when we first got saved. What happened? I mean, they were jumping up and down, whoa, crying, alligator tears. They acted like it was the Super Bowl. Or maybe that's the problem. You're more excited about the Super Bowl than the Word of God. What happened? What happened? When did you get off track? But not only that, it was just, by the way, just a copy of the New Testament. But why were they excited? Why were they tearful? Why were they jumping up and down? Because now they can finally impress people with their biblical knowledge. Even to the point where now they're going to go over the hill to the next neighboring tribe and they're going to set up Christian competition to see who can quote more of the Bible and this and that and amaze people with their wonderful biblical knowledge. They're going to hand up. No! Why were they excited? Because it will keep them in the paths of righteousness. Listen, not only for them, but for their children and their children's children. They were excited. Finally, we have a copy of the Word of God that will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Off the path of wickedness. That is destroying us. That is destroying our people. That is destroying. We don't have to wonder. We've got the Word of God. It's going to lead us in that path. Common sense appreciation. Thank you, God. On top of being a quick listener, man, woo-wee, soaking it up, being a sponge. Even when you spank me, it's good. Why? Because, man, this is what I need to stay away from being destroyed. That's what James is saying. God desires it, so we desire it, if we're born again Christian. One guy puts it this way. He says, the idea here, listen, is not passive acceptance of God's word. In other words, it's active acceptance. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you for showing me a sure way to live. It's a teachable spirit. It's one that's shapeable, moldable. one that readily receives the implanted word. Why? So that God can literally plant the truth in our heart where it can take root and be productive, i.e. produce righteousness. True Christians should want this because it is God's word that, listen, is not only able to save your souls, that means not only in salvation, but sanctification. In other words, maturity. You want to grow up and be like Christ, a Christ follower? Get into the word. It is the word of God that continually delivers us from sin. It is the word of God that saves us and sanctifies us. It delivers our souls. It rescues our souls from sin and iniquity and all that goes along with that and all the destruction of the culture. But unto us who are saved, the word continues to be the power of God to produce righteousness. Listen, to make us more like Christ. In other words, you don't have to be begged to get in the word of God. You don't have to be gimmicked to get in the word of God. You don't have to have your arm twisted to come to church services and Bible studies and bribed and all that stuff. Are you kidding me? What's the normal response? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, yeah. What? I get an opportunity to read God's word. Not only go to church services, I can read it every day, even on my own. What a concept. Woo! And then only that, I'm just here to shut my mouth and soak it up and learn. And even when I get spanked, who cares, man? That's for my own good. I got a common sense appreciation. Yes, finally, I'm off that path of wickedness. I'm on to righteousness and all of that. But also conversely, what if you're not quick to hear? And all you want is the word of man. Remember that? There's a flip side to this, people. And then you don't want to hear it. And you're quick to speak to say, that's not what I came here for. And you won't submit to it. And you start threatening and bribing and doing all that stuff to those that would preach it. And then you actually act like the world. And when the word of God is proclaimed for your own benefit to get you off that wide road that is destroying our world, our society, our country, our schools, our homes, everything, you actually get wrathful towards it. That's also conversely common sense. That's what non-Christians do. Why? Because it's common sense. You don't have to be a genius. Hello, McFly. Man's anger, literally wrath, does not bring about the righteous life that God's desire. That's James' whole point. Okay? Is what he's talking about there. And the reason why God desires that is twofold in the context of James. Why should Christians not only take sin serious to the point where we don't play with it, we don't love it, we don't defend it, we don't own up to it, we admit it's wrong, we turn from it, we don't attack those who preach it? Are you kidding me? You're supposed to be a Christian? Why? Because the context we saw before. Why does God want us to live that? What he desires, context, a holy, righteous life. We're not saved by that, but why, after getting saved, did he give us his word and the power of his spirit to live it? We saw in the context, number one, because we are walking billboards for Jesus Christ. This is what God desires from us. How are they going to know? The world isn't going to open up this book. We're the walking advertisement. And so this is what he desires, contextually in James. That we be a holy example. Why? Because, listen, sin is serious. And if we don't take it serious, then why should the lost? But owning up to sin, saying, yes, that's sin. God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That's the first step in getting saved. That's what God desires, for us to live a holy life, because it sends that message. Sin is serious. The second thing is, we saw, we're supposed to be what? First fruits. Remember the context of James. First fruit what? First fruit preview of the world to come. That we should be the bait, like the moth to the flame. You really want to become a Christian. It isn't just escaping hell. But listen, here's the ultimate news. One day, God prepared for us who are truly born again, who've been saved by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ, a place, a world without sin. Holy and righteous. Nothing wrong. It's going to be wonderful. It never ends. No more devil or demons or dying or death or mourning or crying or darkness or sin. It's gone. And the way we live is that preview. That's why James said it's common sense. You don't get mad at the word of God. Are you kidding me? You say, thank you, God, for showing me the path of righteousness. And by the way, I'm a follower of Christ. I want to be like him. I want to be a positive advertisement to the lost around me that they need to take sin serious. And here's the good news. If you do and ask for forgiveness through Jesus, one day you get to join us in a place without sin. That's common sense. It's a common sense appreciation. is God's word. That's verse 20. Now, 21, James would say this. Therefore, in light of what we just discussed, that's a common sense. Here's the next common sense thing. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word plan in you, which can save you. So now James is telling us, listen, that a true born-again Christian is not only going to have a common sense appreciation for God's word because they know that this is going to produce what God desires, them being a holy, righteous life, by the way, which is for our good. It keeps us off the path of destruction, but it enables us to be those godly advertisements to the lost around us. The second thing is, now he says, a true born-again Christian will also have a common reaction towards sin in that they do whatever they can to get rid of it. Certainly don't play with it, flirt with it. Certainly don't condone it. Because it is sin that inhibits what God desires, that righteous life. Okay, let's take a look at what this. These people, what you're going to see, they had something happen to them. Okay? And I think you guys are pretty sharp today. I think you're going to get it. But they had a common sense response to this situation you're about to see. And really, this is what James is saying, that you and I should have towards him. But let's take a look at what happened. Watch this.
It's like a scene out of a horror movie. A baby is blissfully asleep when out of nowhere, a giant spider appears on the baby cam. And it's coming right at the little girl.
I was terrified. I don't like spiders, so I was like, oh my goodness, this spider's going to eat my child.
Emily Stewart is little Kyla's mom, and she couldn't believe what she saw the next morning on the baby monitor. The spider appears to land right by Kyla's face, then up it goes.
Imagine you go to the doctor because you feel something in your ear, and then this happens. Guys, it's not a big deal. It's probably just in there laying eggs.
You're not helping.
Seriously, though, if I had a spider in my ear, I'd cut my own head off to get it out. And the worst part is this guy probably never slept again.
That was pretty freaky.
Yeah.
Wow. Actually, one time, Rebecca had a bug in her ear. And we didn't believe her. But Brandy put some drops in, and guess what? Here come that bug. That was freaky. But here's my point. What was the normal, and we saw this, what was the normal natural response when people had either a spider on your baby's face or a spider lodged in your ear? Get it off! Get it off! Get away from me! Get that off my child's face! Woo! Woo! Get, pour a bucket! Hurry! Quick! Get it off! Get it off! Get it off! That's common sense. Now imagine if that mom, because you lovingly pointed out the truth, hate to tell you this, but there's a spider on your baby's face. And the mom said this, spider. Who cares? What's the big deal? Making a big deal out of nothing, man. Actually, I'm excited about it because it gives my kid something to play with. I just save money. I don't have to buy my toys. Biodegradable. Good for the environment. Wait, who are you to tell me what I should do? What, you got a corner on the truth, right? What are you, a spider bigot? Who are you to tell me how I should feel about spiders? What if that guy that had one in his ear? Yeah. And he said, hey, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, but, you know, good news, bad news. The bad news is you got a spider in your ear, but if we just apply this remedy, then you're gonna be free from it. Wait a second. Hey, knock it off! Get those eardrops away from me. Who do you think you are? Are you a wacko fundamentalist? Do you go to Sunrise Bible Church? If I want a spider in my ear, I can have a spider in my ear. Who do you think? You can't tell me what to do. We're not hurting anyone. If we both love each other, it's okay. Having a spider in my ear is my lifestyle. Who are you? Now, if they really said that, the mom and the guy, what would we say? You better lay off the chicken or something because you're like, why? Because that's not the normal response. You got a spider in your baby's face. Ah. You got a spider in your ear. Double bucket, get it out. Hey. This is what James is saying with sin and the Christian. He's saying, listen, Christian, you got to have the same attitude. You know, like when you first got saved And the Holy Spirit's there. Now he's convicting you of sin. And now you got a copy of the Word of God that leads you into righteousness and exposes what is sin, what's not sin, so you can stay away from it for your own good, so you can be a positive advertisement. So when you come across it, what do you do? Get it off! Get away! Get away! Get away! Get no, no, no! Get it! Oh! Towards sin. That's what he's saying. That's a normal response. Therefore, what's he say? Get rid of all of it. That's common sense. Get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Literally, get rid of is literally having put away. It's an urgency. It means it's a done deal. You've done all you can. Get that thing off of me. Get that sin away from me. Oh, no! What? Every moral uncleanness, all vulgarity, all wickedness, whatever it takes, get it off. Get it off now. Why? Because you like the spider in the ear? That was kind of freaky. This is literally what James is saying. He uses analogy, common sense analogy. Filthiness, watch this. Filthiness is the Greek word rupario. It means, yes, filthy clothes, to make filthy, to befoul. But it literally comes from the root word rupus, which means what? Wax in the ear. Like the spider. It'll clog you up. What's he talking about? Sin. And so what he's saying here, listen, just as it's common sense, we really have to explain this? It's just as if you get a buildup of wax in your ear, then it's going to make you deaf to things you need to hear, right? Like this guy, watch this. This guy goes to the doctor and he says, hey, doc, listen, I don't think my wife's hearing is as good as it used to be, and so what should I do? So the doc, he says, listen, try this test to find out for sure. When your wife is in the kitchen doing dishes, stand 15 feet behind her and ask her a question. And if she doesn't respond, keep moving closer, asking the question until she hears you. So the man, he goes home and he sees his wife preparing dinner. So he stands 15 feet behind her. He says, what's for dinner, honey? No response. He moves in to 10 feet behind her and asks again. No response. 5 feet? No answer. Finally, he stands directly behind her and says, honey, what's for supper? And she says, for the fourth time, I said chicken! Who's got the hearing problem? Number one. Number two, not to take a detour, but you know they got marital problems if she's cooking chicken. That's just, let's be honest with you. But it's interesting, who's got a hearing problem? Do you even realize you got a hearing problem? But if you got a hearing problem, you can miss out on some very important things. Watch this. This elderly gentleman had some serious hearing problems for a number of years, so he goes to the doctor. And the good news is the doctor was able to have him fitted with a set of hearing aids, and it allowed him to hear 100% again. So he comes back in a month to the doctor, check it out. Doctor checks him out. He says, man, this is awesome. Your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really pleased that you can hear again. To which the elderly guy said, oh, I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around listening to the conversations. And I've changed my will 3 times in the last month. Ooh. Yeah. Common sense. Common sense. If you've got hearing problems, you're going to miss out on some important information. And that's James' point. This is his analogy. It's common sense. Do we really need to explain this, Christian? Just as if you have a buildup of earwax, it will make you deaf and miss out on important conversations. If you're not careful, sin will accumulate and make you deaf to the Word of God. And so you better do all you can to get it off now, get it off, every day, cleaning up. Or you're going to end up like this. Watch this.
Oh my goodness, we have got an amazing one for you to watch today. I think this is the biggest piece of wax I've ever seen taken out of anybody's ear canal anywhere on the internet. I've never seen anything come out this big before. So anyway, let's get on with the wax removal. So what you can see here, this lovely patient came through feeling tremendously blocked up in both sides. And what you can see with this particular piece of wax here is we've got this layer of dry skin that's sort of interwoven into this wax and kind of attached to the canal wall in places as well. So this is a tough old one to get out. So this is what it looked like to start with. And this is what it looks like afterwards. Stay tuned for the shot of that piece of wax. Look at the size of that piece. Between 2 and 3 inches, that is the piece of wax we took away. I have never seen a piece of wax that size come out of somebody's ear canal before. The difference in this patient when that plug came out was immense. You could just see almost if a weight had been lifted off this patient. They could instantly hear better. And just the relief on their face, it was just lovely to watch. It really, really was.
Dude, that looked like bacon. And I like bacon. That was gross. This is what James is saying. This is Ruparia. It's common sense. Do we really need to explain this? Just like earwax, if you don't stay on top of it every day, at least once in a while, do something. Do a spot check. You're going to end up with that piece of bacon come out of your ear. And it's your fault. And you go, okay, why? And this is what James is saying. And if you, Christian, don't take sin serious, because it's prevalent in the world, it's everywhere. You know what's going to happen? You're going to say the same thing. God, I can't hear you. Feels like you're a million miles away. What'd you say? Man, I read the Bible. It's just like, no, I'm getting nothing out of it. I got to say, nothing's happening. I can't hear. Because you're not taking sin serious. And James would say it's common sense. You cannot be the bride of Christ and the girlfriend of Satan at the same time. And if you keep cramming in sin and you don't care, you don't rip about it, that's not a good sign. No wonder it feels like you're deaf to the things of God. That's why he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil. Here's the word, prevalent. Prevalent is the Greek word, this is cool, parousia, and it means not just it's prevalent, there's a lot of it. It literally means this, a superabundance. A big old giant supply. Like that piece of bacon coming out of that guy's ear. This is abnormal, this is big. That's what he's talking about, sin in the world. And so what he's saying, you got to get rid of all that. You got to stay on top of this, Christian. I mean, do we really need to convince this? It gets worse every week. How much sin is out in the world? Big old giant supply. Parousia, it's all over the place. Super abundance, of course. And it gets worse and worse. And now it's coming to the church. So if you don't go, Christian, and clean out your heart from the sin of this world and your mind and your ears. Yep. Next thing you know, even though the word of God's being preached, you're going, I ain't getting nothing on this. Or you're sitting there in your own so-called private time, if you have a private time. I ain't getting nothing out of this. Why? You better check your spiritual ears. By the way, parousia, the Greek word there, prevalent, was also used by the Greeks to describe excess wax in the ears. It's a double analogy, which means it's urgent. Take it serious. It's not just everywhere, but you better get it out now. You better take it serious. Or it's going to ruin what God desires. You're not going to hear the word. It's your fault because you're choosing sin over the word of God. Get rid of it, unload it, clean it out. Not just some of it. What's he say? All unfilthiness. The filthiness is prevalent. The wickedness, the moral unclean. Get rid of all of it. That's his point. Now, that's the opposite of what we see in the world and the church as we close. And we're actually at this last stage. And this is what happened to Stephen. If you remember, the first martyr of the church. The people not only clung on to their sin, but they got so wrathful, like James is talking about, those that would point out their sin, and it's not them, they're just proclaiming the truth, that they even got to the point where they literally covered their ears. Watch this. We're still on the ear analogy. This is wild. Acts 7, 51 through 58. You stiff-necked people. With uncircumcised hearts and what? Ears. You're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, i.e. Jesus, Messiah. And now you betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels but have not what? Obeyed it. When they what? Heard this, they were what? Furious. They gnashed their teeth at him, and then only that, Stephen, then he's full of the Holy Spirit. He looks up to heaven, he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He says, look, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they what? Literally covered their ears, and yelling at the top of the voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and stoned him, i.e. they killed him. So the context here now with this, we're talking about the ear analogy. Let's break it down. What's James saying? Okay, how do you know you're dealing with somebody that's, they profess it all day long, but we got some major red flags. They're probably a faker in your midst. Number one, they're slow to listen. Really what they're quick to listen to is man's word. Remember that? Because it works both ways. Common sense. They're slow to listen. They are quick to speak. Man, that's not what I came here for. They refuse to submit to it and start bribing, blackmailing, threatening, all that stuff. And then they get mad, just like the world, towards God's word, which is all for their good. And you're supposed to be a Christian. And then you hold on to your sin because it's your lifestyle. And this is, nobody has a right to tell you what to do. And God loves everyone. Love is love and blah, blah, blah. And then you actually would cover your ears. This still happens today. Literally the covering of the ears, like Stephen. I shared with you before, when I was in a Bible college, going to school at night for 7 years, Bible college and seminary, I was working at a secular place. And so what do you do when you work at a secular place? I witness. That's what we do, Christians. And so I was witnessing to my boss, which he could have fired me, but oh well, who comes first? Right? Because it's not by chance. You're there. Why do you think God put you there? Oh yeah, I might lose my job. Well, then who provided that one? He can provide another one. Where's your trust? I'm witnessing to my boss. We get there. It was a divine appointment. It was just one of those, you know, you step into it and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, all of a sudden, even in the middle of work, God's opened up a door and you step into it. So I'm proclaiming the gospel to my boss. Wasn't the first time, but this is the furthest we got. And we're literally, I'm not joking, maybe 15, 30 seconds max from literally going like, and would you like to pray and receive Christ your Savior? We were like right there that close and he knew it too. And all of a sudden, as a grown man, he literally behind his desk, sitting in his chair, he looks at me and goes, I was dumbfounded. He literally, like Stephen, the people of Stephen, and somehow the way I took it was, if he doesn't hear the final punchline, then he won't be convicted of it. No. Guess what? We've all sinned, and we're all on our way to hell. And I'm trying to tell you the way to get out of this. Plugging your ears ain't going to change a thing. But this goes on today. This is going on in our country. Let me show you some signs that our world is plugging their ears. This is the stage that we're at because the church refuses to teach the truth. Tourists in Washington, D.C. are ordered by police to stop praying at the U.S. Capitol. Arizona children were told they could not pray in the Supreme Court building. A minister was arrested for praying on the steps of the Supreme Court. A chaplain was fired for speaking in the name of Jesus. Nobody hear that. Oh, you could say Buddha, Muhammad, all that stuff, but not Jesus. Police chaplains are being told to stop praying in the name of Jesus. A North Carolina pastor was fired for being an honorary chaplain of the state house representatives because he closed the prayer in the name of Jesus. North Carolina court ruled that Jesus' prayers can be banned. A North Carolina school ordered a child to remove the word God from their poem. Senior citizens are not allowed to pray for the meals at a particular nursing home. Listen, a middle school in Lexington, Kentucky, they called the cops in when the eighth graders were praying for a family whose mom was tragically killed. They came in and the cops arrested to stop them praying. But listen to this one. This is a pastor in Kansas, the Bible Belt, was convicted and fined for passing out Bibles by, listen, so-called fellow Christians. Quote, the arresting officer said he was a Christian. The court judge said he was a Christian. The prosecutor said he was a Christian. The city attorney said he was a Christian. And four of the six jurors said they were Christian, and yet they convicted me for handing out the Bibles. Why is it so bad out there? Because we're at that stage. We got idiots running the show. Not only in the world, it's all about self. But in the church, you got God haters now out in the world in the church. They don't want to hear it. But we're at this final stage where they're trying to do everything they can to plug their ears from here to there. But wait a second. What was the next step? They killed him for it. Is that coming? Yeah. But before we look at that, let's look at the church. Are we really having now at that stage, not just idiots and God haters, but people that are plugging their ears to God's truth? And instead of getting rid of the sin as fast as you can, because it's not going to lead to what God desires, a righteous life, to be a godly example to the lost, that we would have people in the church that are covering their ears towards sin and cramming as much as they can in it? Yeah. This is how bad it's gotten. Let me give you a couple examples. You could now go to the pole dancing church service. What? Yes. It's a, quote, new way to express your faith. To, quote, help other people connect with the teachings of Jesus Christ. See, you think I'm kidding. Unfortunately, I'm not.
Well, pole dancing as a workout is nothing new. Over the past few years, independent studios have popped up all over the country. But Kristen Kane is here tonight to explain a unique type of pole dancing class here in our area, Kristen.
Well, Melinda, I bet you've never heard of this one before, Pole Fitness for Jesus. And I know you're probably thinking, how on earth can you mix pole dancing with Jesus?
In front of the kids. You clapped at that. How is that? Get rid of all moral filth and uncleanness, wouldn't it? In front of the kids. I'll tell you this. This didn't happen, praise God, because they're a godly couple. But I'll tell you what I would have done. Showing up on Friday in the Houstons, starting the new youth group, if I walked into that room and if I saw somebody pole dancing, you're fired! Get out of here! This was applauded! And then they're, instead of getting rid of the sinful earwax, they're cramming as much as they can in it. You wonder why things are messed up? Oh, but if you didn't like that one, you could do the new erotic church service. Hundreds lined up at the, quote, erotic church service where a female dancer danced in skin-colored stocking up the middle of the front altar through the aisles. Quote, they announced, this is an erotic church service. Can you move in a bit closer together, all of you? It was followed by saxophone music and dance, and then they announced, and I quote, eroticism and lust are not taboo. Quote, lust has to be lived out in a church service. How about the transgender service? Episcopal Church? Now we're saying that we want transgender men and women to become ministers, quote, of the church. This comes after they openly did the gay bishop thing years ago. So guess what? It goes downhill. It gets worse, doesn't it? Quote, it's all part of their non-discrimination policy to church members. Oh, you can go to church all you want. Services. I don't make you a Christian. And then it's gotten so bad, folks, that we now have atheists. Church services. At least they admit they're not Christians. Like the fakers, they say they are. I'm not joking, watch this.
Today, the Sunday Assembly, or as it's better known, the Atheist Church, is launching 35 new services in cities across the world. There's ones in New Zealand, Hungary, France, the UK, and 16 here in the US. So I'm here at the one in Strongsville, Ohio, just outside Cleveland, and we're going to see what it's all about. What's your background? Were you raised in a religious family? Did you go to church?
I think I was saved twice, so it obviously didn't take.
You were saved twice?
Yeah, recently I've just been de-baptized, so I have the actual certificate to show that I've been de-baptized.
How did you get de-baptized? Well, dry you excessively? How did you become an atheist, or were you raised an atheist?
Religion does a lot of things well. What they do not so well is inculcate hate, intolerance, and all sorts of things that are anti-human. So this brings the best and leaves the worst out.
I do have several close friends who are religious. One of my best friends from high school, she is a pastor. I actually turned to my pastor friend to ask her, how do we start a church? And she gave me reams of advice, lots of great ideas.
So your pastor friend gave you advice on how to start a godless church.
Exactly, yes.
Nature's way of receiving you. Nature's way of retrieving you. Nature's way of telling you something's wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong, all right. Idiots are running the show. God haters are running the show. And now you got flat out atheists who want to, you know, feel religious. Two. How is this what James said? Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Answer, it's not. And that's James' point. James is saying the whole filthy mass of wicked moral vice must be confessed, repented, and dealt with. Those of us who are genuine believers understand this. We desire it because God desires it. We desire what he desires. We're followers of him. We desire to repent. We desire to be cleansed. We desire to have the wax of sin removed from our ears so that we can hear the word of truth. Because our delight is in the law of God. We want to chew on it day and night. We love the law of God. So if one is a true Christian, there will be a willingness to receive the word with submission. There will be a willingness to listen and a resistance, a hesitancy to speak, and no anger towards what God says. There will also be a willingness to receive the word with purity. There will be a strong, compelling desire to divest oneself of all the filthiness and the overflowing of wickedness that would hinder the production of righteousness that that word, the Bible, could accomplish. A true Christian has a heart that longs to be taught by God and is a willing student. But that's not what's going on today in the world and the church. And so we're ready for that next stage. Unfortunately, what Jesus warned about would come. Just like the days of Stephen, it's full circle. Matthew 24:9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. Put to what? Not just hated. Persecution, folks. Death. And it's already begun. Watch this. Why stop tolerating sin? Because that's what it leads to. And that's where we're at. We've been so lax as Christians that we've allowed idiots to take over. And then came the next wave, God haters. And now we're just entering, even here in America, people who were plugging their ears like Stephen. And then they're not just wrathful. They scream and they come after us. Reverend Fred Winters was murdered while preaching his pulpit in Marysville, Illinois. Pro-life activist Jim Polian was murdered. In front of his grandfather's, her granddaughter's high school for showing the truth about abortion. Two more street preachers were killed. And a Christian liberty group warned anti-Christian hostility is getting increasingly deadly in the United States. Two more street preachers were shot and killed by a teenager who opposed their message. Quote, the increasing demonization of Christians in our culture makes some feel it's open season on Christians. Gary Cass of the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission complained of a lack of interest in the media. Why aren't we hearing about this? He said, as of today, back to the two Christian men that were murdered in America, there are no national news organizations reporting this vicious murder of two Christian innocent men. Why? If two Muslims or two feminists or two homosexuals were murdered, wouldn't they, the media be all over it? These were two fine young men shot by another man for their Christian faith, yet the media doesn't seem to care. And it's not just there, it's in the church. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Because we have been so lax with the truth, Christian, God's truth, that protects us from all this. I've warned, and I'll say it again. You might want to start witnessing to the person sitting next to you in the pew, because one day they could be the death of you. A lot of people in America go to church services, but that doesn't make them a Christian. And this is James' whole point. If they are not quick to hear God's word, and if they have no business just listening and soaking it up, and they refuse to submit to it, and they're just as wrathful as the rest of the world, I don't care if they go to the church. Oh, and by the way, they twist the church into something they're not. They not only hold on to their sin, but they promote it, and then they literally block their ears, get mad, mock and scoff, and will even join the mob. Go get them. Kill them. What's James say? You better take note of this. How you handle God's word is a huge indicator of who you really are. You can fool men, but you'll never fool God. I don't care how high up you got in the church. But if that's you, you're a faker. And you're showing it. And you're on your way to hell. This is serious stuff. In fact, it's so serious, believe it or not, James gives us another one. You also would be a good reflection of God's word. What? Yeah, he continues this theme. But we're out of time. We'll get to that next time. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us, that disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.